trying to, this morning, recover from last night's Christmas festivities. I was thinking about what it is that I want to talk about this evening. And I was reflecting back on the evening, and I was thinking, well, do I want to preach on greed, or deception, or divisions? but I decided to pass on those, and I started to just reflect on my images from the night and all of the memories that I had collected from the evening. And a few stood out to me. There, I remember the eyes of the ladies getting as big as dinner plates when more and more dinner plates kept coming into the house and coming into the house. And the room on the counter was growing shorter and shorter. And I have no idea how we got so much food onto those counters, but we did. I remember the tears that were shed when Tim gave his speech and when Mama King and Pops, as I know them, got their fire pit, and most of those tears were from those who had to carry the fire pit into the room. It will be hard for me from now on to look at an object without the question coming to mind. But what does it smell like? And the answer is probably amber and leather. but I was reflecting on all of those things, and I think what I ended up settling on to talk about tonight, really what I gained from the evening, is the beauty of fellowship. So tonight, I want to talk briefly about fellowship. I know really last night was a good evidence of the fact that this family doesn't need much talking about that, but I still think it's a good occasion. So this evening we're going to be in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to be at the end of the chapter looking at fellowship. And I guess, I'm not just this evening talking about fellowshipping, but the fellowship that we have with each other in the body of Christ. So Acts chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading in verse 41. So then, those who had received Peter's word were baptized. And on that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day they were continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. I don't know that you can really pick out a better section of scripture to reflect on the fellowship that we have in Christ's body. I love this section of Acts chapter 2. What I want to pull out, though, is just some, what is fellowship from this chapter? And I want to begin with, what is fellowship? Well, fellowship is togetherness. And that may seem obvious at first. It may seem simple at first. Of course, fellowship is togetherness and being together. But it's not just all of us, all of our bodies being under the same roof. We are together in something more than that. The disciples, when you read about their togetherness and the end of Acts chapter 2, not only were their bodies in close proximity, but their hearts were in close proximity with one another. Their minds were in close proximity with each other. We see in verse 46 of chapter 2 that day by day they were breaking bread in the houses. They were taking their meals together with gladness and with sincerity of heart. And we look at that, and yes, they were together, like their bodies were close together, but how they're really together is all summed up with what it says, they were of one mind. Whenever I look at this section of Scripture and I look at what the disciples of Christ, the beginnings of the church, are doing for one another, I read this and I do not whiff or even smell a hint of discord, of disunity, or of divisions. If there was, things would look a whole lot different in this chapter. I mean, look at the things that they are doing for one another. They are spending every day together. They are devoting themselves to one another. They are selling their possessions to supply for one another. Everything is common to them. Do you think that they would be able to do that if they had disunity, if they had discord? When you look at how, with the Lord's help, how the church spread day by day, the Lord was adding to their number. You think about the amazing growth that the kingdom saw at this time. Do you think that they would be able to do that if there was discord or disunity? It is hard when there is discord even to get one task done. I mean, again, I was thinking about the plate after plate coming into the ladies last night and how it would have been terrible with food everywhere if they would have been biting at one another or arguing with one another or trying to or getting angry at one another. It's hard to get things done when there is anger and disunity. And it's interesting because you see so many families. I mean, families out in the world, they're so quick to turn on one another. There are some families that are so quick to turn swords on one another, you would have thought that Gideon and his 300 men had just blowed their horns around them. And that's why I'm so thankful for our family, for this congregation. I'm so thankful to have a congregation that loves one another, that does not have discord and disunity. That's what I love so much about last night, is there wasn't any disunity, except for every single time that Brother Guy said, "This is the first round of gift giving." Fellowship is a togetherness. A body, yes, us being together, but of mind. Of devotion for one another, separate from division. What is fellowship? Fellowship is support. Fellowship is providing for one another. We see in verse 45, again, they were selling all their property and their possessions. They were selling, they were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. This church that was starting off, was they were selling all of their things to provide for one another, to support one another. And really, I have no doubt that this is a concept that has passed down to the church today. I can say this with confidence, that if one of you were in need, like honestly, if you were in need, you would get whatever you want from me. And I hope you believe that. You would get whatever you want from me. And I don't have a problem saying that. I think probably everybody feels the same. But because of the way that God has blessed us, because of the blessings that He has showered upon us in this country and right now, honestly, unless I'm mistaken, I feel like there's not a lot of people here that are in need, of physical need. I don't know of any one of you, and if you are, please let me know, that needs any money or any clothing or needs anything like that. But that doesn't mean that you don't need anything. Not only do we need our physical things, but we need things mentally, and we need things spiritually. Even though we may not need to, even though someone may not need our money or our physical possessions, they do need something, and we have something to give them. Even though we don't give our physical possessions, we can give an encouraging word. We can offer a prayer for someone. We can offer to pray with them or pray for them when they're in need. We can give them moments of laughter and lightheartedness throughout the day. We can help them to turn their focus back on God. And even though it may not seem as big of a deal as providing for someone's physical needs, those moments of time where we are supporting one another in this way could be exactly what they need in that moment more than anything in the world. And we, as Christians, as followers of Christ, should be willing to give these things, like it says in the end of verse 46, with sincerity and gladness of heart. A lot of us last night walked away from an evening together satisfied. But not satisfied because of the food that we had in our stomachs, or not satisfied because of anything we may have received from the night. But we were satisfied with the laughter, with the joy, with the encouragement that we get from being with one another and fellowshipping with one another and being part of Christ's body. Fellowship is support, not just for physical needs, but for all the needs that we might have. Fellowship is a commonality. We see in verse 44 that everything that they owned they had in common. This is talked about also in Acts 4:32, the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. This is something that we saw with the original church, is that they did not claim ownership of those of their own things. It was everything was in common to them. Now, I think partly because of, again, because of our culture and because of the way that God has blessed us so richly, each and every one of us individually, this concept has kind of gone to the wayside. But again, I kind of have the same feeling or the same thoughts as I do with or in the fact that if you are ever needing anything, my stuff is as good as yours. Please don't abuse that privilege. But if you ever needed anything, for sure. Mi casa es su casa. Whatever you need. But I was thinking about having everything in common. And thinking about what we have in common. And even though we don't have objects in common, there is something that we have in common that the original church did as well. Look at what it says in verse in verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In verse 46, day by day they were continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Remember back in verse 44 what it said, all those who believed had everything in common. Back in Acts 4:32, all of those who believed were of one heart and soul. What did they have in common? Well, their belief. Their belief in who? Belief in Christ. Belief in God. What they had in common was not just physical things, but what they had in common was a love, devotion, and thankfulness to God and our Savior, Jesus. And this is what separates us from any other group or club or anything else that is on this earth, is we are cemented together with Christ. All other groups or clubs, you know, they're kind of glued together with a with maybe common interests or likenesses or just wanting to be part of something. But over time and with the years, that's a glue that is going to come undone and perish. Man-made groups and clubs perish, but Christ's body does not. Christ's body that is cemented with Christ has lasted from the time that it was inaugurated and will last forever, will never end. Nothing will ever separate us under Christ, not even death. That's one of the, honestly, one of the most amazing thoughts that I gathered from last night, is that the disciples of Christ, and which that I laughed with and I enjoyed my time with and that I rejoiced with, I will be able to do that with you for eternity. And that is just something to be eternally thankful to Christ for. Fellowship in Christ. What is fellowship in Christ? Fellowship in Christ is absolutely wonderful. And praise to our Lord Jesus that holds us together in that. If you have yet to join this wonderful body of Christ, please do so tonight. Please come forward, be baptized while we stand and as we sing.